I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Glenn Braden, who is Principal and CIO at compliance auditing firm Attest Healthcare Advisors. We're going to be discussing a recent survey and a recommended practices and implementation guide released by the Health Third Party Trust, or Health 3PT Initiative. So Glenn, just for starters, just briefly describe what your involvement was in the development of the Health 3PT recommended practices for the healthcare sector and for entities in dealing with their third-party risk.
So I really see myself as the vendor voice on the committee. The committee is mostly covered entities, and we work with covered entities. We audit covered entities. So I have a lot of experience working with third-party risk assessments, third-party risk assurance, and because they're coming to me, and I bring that voice, I guess, to the committee. So when we're looking at recommendations, when we're looking at suggested things to do, it's like, okay, so this is kind of how I see it from the other side of the table, because really it's a conversation, and it's two pieces of the same, I don't know, work process that needs to be put in place.
Glenn, please describe a little bit about what the Health 3PT survey looked at and what were some of the key findings that sort of emerged from that might be helpful for healthcare sector entities to realize.
From both sides, the questionnaire is getting to how much this process has been a pain for both sides. It's painful, it's expensive, and it's not working effectively. It's not working as well as we think it should be. The finding that stood out to me, I think, the most was that 60% of the covered entities thought that their current process was not effective, and 72% of the vendors thought it wasn't effective. So to me, and on the vendor side, I can see what the covered entities are doing and how they're assessing us, how they're assessing their vendors, and it's not effective. What they ask or what they do, they're clearly not getting the best answers that they could be getting through the current process of sending these questionnaires, sending a statement that says, sign this, that you're complying with the contract, or send this, that you assure us that you're secure. Like, well, okay, I don't think that's very effective.
Glenn, as you know, we see a lot of major health data breaches that are reported to the Department of Health and Human Services, and about 40% of the incidents this year alone are reported as having involved a HIPAA business associate, and that ranges from incidents involving third parties such as law firms and practice management vendors to major hacks involving large software providers such as Fortra and Progress Software. And as we know, covered entities often have many, many business associates that handle protected health information, as well as subcontractors of those BAs. So with that said, what third-party best practices are highlighted in this new guide that you think entities tend to fall short on that they really need to be spending more attention on?
I think the entities tend to offload the assessment of the risk to the vendor. So I can't tell you how many questionnaires I filled out where I'm telling them what we do for them. I'm telling them the data we get and how we share it. I'm telling them how secure we are. I'm telling them how much of a risk we are. And if you're trusting you're trusting the person who you're supposed to be assessing their risk, trusting them to tell you everything about their risk, you really have no assurance that any of that is correct. Because you're the business, you're responsible for what your vendors are doing, and you need to know what that vendor is doing for you. And if you're just relying on somebody in their IT shop to tell you what they're doing, it's not going to be effective or the best information. So I think part of what's in the recommended practices is, for one, you have to have a way to rank your vendors and what their risk is. And then you need to know what they're doing, what data they've got, what they're doing with that data, and how to assess the risk from just the beginning start, and how often you need to assess the risk, how much of a risk they are to the organization. It really starts with the hiring company to assess what their vendors are doing for them, because trusting the vendor to tell you exactly what your risk is, it cannot be effective. So then it goes through how you do that. So once you know your risk, you need concise language in the contract. So this is what you're going to do, but you can't rely on that contract to do it all, because once when I'm as a vendor, when I sign a BAA, I'm at risk for a data breach regardless of what happens. So just having the language in the contract really isn't enough. There needs to be some sort of appropriate, reliable, consistent way to have an assurance about our security capabilities. And that's the key, that it's consistent, that there's an industry standard for how you know if they have security assurances, if my data is safe with them. Because these questionnaires and the signing, I just got another one that they want me to sign, attestation that says we're secure. I'm like, well, you're 100% trusting me to tell you that I'm secure with you're not checking anything. I don't see how that's effective. So it goes through step by step on what makes sense, because it makes sense for us as a vendor that we can show that we have security, the appropriate security measures in place, because I'm high trust certified. I have gone through these audits. I have demonstrated that we have these security controls in place. That's how we tell them, yes, we are a secure shop. And it really goes through the other piece where covered entities can fall to the side is they do their risk assessment or their assurance or whatever their questionnaires. They do them every once in a while. And then if there is something that's not up to par, then they may work on a corrective action plan, or they may say you need to fix this, but then there's no follow up. So it just kind of falls by the wayside. And then, you know, 2 or 3 years later, oh, well, we had this problem with this vendor and they never fixed it. With HITRUST, that's part of the process is you go through the validation. If there's something's not appropriate, there's a corrective action plan, and then it's checked by the next, it's checked for the next year, and it follows through. So there's follow up. And I think because covered entities have so many vendors and they have so much to take in, I guess, and to review, that a lot of that follow-up just doesn't happen if there is a risk or something that needs to be corrected.
So does the best practices implementation guide focus on, for instance, getting HITRUST certified? Are there other sort of certifications that entities can seek from their vendors that would give them this extra sense of assurance that, you know, their third parties are actually doing what they say they're doing and, you know, checking up on them every so often to make sure that everything is secure in terms of their practices and, you know, everything else they're doing with the PHI that they're handling?
There are multiple levels, I guess, of HITRUST assurance available now. So yes, that's exactly what we're proposing and suggesting, is that the covered entity needs to assess their risk with that vendor. And then based on the risk of their data with the vendor, the risk of the vendor, you know, having a breach, that kind of helps drive the level of HITRUST assurance you would want. Whether it's like us, which is R2 certified, so it's a 2-year certification that we've had for a number of years, that assures, yes, they have like the highest level that you can get the assurance, and it's consistent. It's a consistent process. It's a consistent grading, scoring methodology. So, you know, this vendor meets these standards, and that's really what it is. I think we recognize that there's some limitations with other certifications or other audits with an ISO, the entity kind of determines the appropriate controls they want to have in place, kind of this same way with the SOC. You decide a little bit about which controls you want in and how you're going to control things. With HITRUST, it's very set, and if you have this, then you need to have this control in place. So I think that's where the consistency comes in.
So Glenn, as you know, we have seen quite a few large breaches being reported in the healthcare sector, but also other industries involving third-party software. And this year, there's been a lot of breaches involving Fortra's product for manage or secure file transfer. We have had lots of breaches being reported involving Progress Software's MOVEit software. And these incidents have involved, for instance, exploitation of zero-day vulnerabilities and things like that. So when it comes to, like, you know, large software vendors such as those and others, that are also sometimes used by a covered entity's vendors. So there may be subcontractors. Would this guide sort of apply to that? Would high trust, you know, certification apply to those sorts of companies? Or is that one of the sort of those, you know, black holes where, well, you know, maybe you have other third party risk management under control, but there's certain things that are harder to control?
A lot of that comes in to the scoping of the high trust certification on what all is included. So I do believe, and one of the most important questions that the vendor covered entity can ask the vendor, ask us, is are all of the systems or all of the processes that used to deliver the service to us included in your high trust report? So is it properly scoped? And I think that is a legitimate question, and that is an appropriate question for anyone relying on the high trust report for the vendor. Is it appropriately scoped, and is everything included? So that's one thing, because the scoping does matter. I think we're all kind of at a little bit of the mercy of some of these huge software companies with breaches and with being breached and the zero-day vulnerabilities. The best kind of response, the best example that I see from my clients are the clients who reach out and ask, okay, MOVEit has a problem. Do you use MOVEit? Do your subcontractors use MOVEit? And then within the first week that vulnerability is out, they're assessing whether that's a problem with us as a vendor. And we can answer that no or yes or whatever, and this is what we're doing about it. I think the high trust certification definitely sets a bar and a floor maybe. But yes, because the nature of the beast and the nature of these exploits, nothing is going to be able to say there's no way that so and so is going to have a problem because none of us can test that software is secure.
Glenn, based on the work you do with healthcare sector entities overall, are there some top mistakes that you see organizations making with their third-party risk management programs that if they were to address that ASAP, it would greatly reduce the risk of their third parties?
One of the comments I made when we had a webinar was that many of my covered entity clients don't even ask about security at all. And if each and every one of them came with a security questionnaire, there's no way we could even respond to that because it would be too many. So I think everyone needs to be looking at their vendors and their risk. And I don't think everyone is looking at it at this point. So that's a place to start. I do think tiering your risk with vendors and then looking for vendors who have the appropriate risk assurances, like a high trust certification, is a good step to go, because my understanding is there's not that many of us for some of my clients. Like I know I've talked to clients and talked to the ones where we're like 5% or 10% of their vendors are high trust certified. So they're much more concerned with those uncertified vendors than they are with us. But it gets to me where I can't imagine the clients who literally are not asking, who've never asked anything.
Thank you, Glenn. I've been speaking to Glenn Braden. I'm Marianne Kolbaczek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.